You're listening to Shalise's podcast.
All right. Well, Father, I thank you for this new series, Working from Rest. And I thank you that this is a topic that is on your heart because the works were finished before the foundation of the world. And Father, you want us to enter into rest. You want us to enter into the fullness of all that Jesus has accomplished for us, as us, and live from that place, Father, of fulfillment, from that place of satisfaction, totally connected to you, moment by moment, abiding in the vine, Father, where the fruit just happens through us as we gaze upon you and enjoy what you're doing and co-labor with you. So, Father, I just pray today that as we embark on this journey in this new podcast, that everyone would operate with enlightened eyes, that you would enlighten the eyes of their understanding so that they would know the hope of their calling. Father, I just release a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of you. I thank you, Holy Spirit, that you are our teacher. You lead and guide us into all truth. You actually show us the future. You call things that be not as though they are in our lives. And you are with us, always working in us to finish the good works that you've begun in us. And so today we just yield. We yield our faculties as instruments of righteousness. We offer ourselves as a living sacrifice. And we thank you, Father, that that is actually our reasonable service, that that's what our part is, to simply be the branch, to simply be the son, to simply live and move and have our being inside of you, resting from our own labors and trusting you and looking at to be led by the Holy Spirit every single day as we walk out what has already been finished and we manifest heaven here on earth in union with you. So, Father, we just bless every single listener today, every single person that's watching this broadcast, and we thank you that you're going to do exceedingly abundantly above all we could ask, all we could think, all we would know, to dare to dream according to the power that works in us. Of course, the Holy Spirit, the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead, is always in us and moving with us, and they're encouraging us, Father, revealing you to us, revealing us to us, and doing the work. And so we bless this time together and we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Well, hello everyone. Welcome to this new series. I'm super excited about this topic. It's called Working from Rest. And I can tell you, this is a topic that I have been, skating around and in for decades at this point. And I just wanted to share some of the revelation that God has poured out into me over the years. And really, we're going to talk about living outside of time. We're going to be talking about, quote unquote, time travel a little bit in this podcast. No, it's not about sci-fi. It is about the finished works of Jesus, but they were finished from the foundation of the world. And so we're going to talk about everything that really is finished, that the gospel is actually a completed work, that when Jesus said it is finished, it was finished in time, but it has been finished from God's perspective since before time began. So let's kick this thing off today with that really foundation scripture. It comes from Revelation chapter 13, verse 8. And this is just, I think, the King James Version, but I just want to go ahead and read that to you. Revelation 13:8, it says, "And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him." My goodness, I could teach about that, right? About the all in all there. But I'm not gonna be tempted to do that. It says, "And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him whose names are not written in the book of the life of the Lamb, slain from the foundation of the world." Okay, so here in Revelation 13:8, it talks about this idea. We all know that Jesus is the Lamb, but the Lamb had been slain, according to the scripture, before the foundation of the world. Now, that is a little bit of a mind-blowing idea, because we know that Jesus was born of Virgin Mary, right? Born into the earth, 2000 plus whatever, 24 years, whatever, exactly when that date is, depending on when you're watching this broadcast. The point is that in time, God became a man, okay? The incarnation happened through the Virgin Mary inside of time. But before Adam was, even Jesus said, before Abraham was, I am. that God in the beginning, that Jesus was with God, in God, he was God, it says in John chapter 1. So Jesus did not only exist once he became a man, right? Jesus always was. He is the Word of God. And not only did he always exist, but guess what? We also existed in him before the foundation of the world. So let's go over to another scripture that I really love to teach out of. And it is such a mind-blowing concept. Let's go over to Ephesians chapter 1 this morning. Let's go there. I'm going to go in the Passion Translation just for fun. And we will start reading in verse 3. Okay, it says, every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realm has already been lavished upon us as a love gift from our wonderful heavenly Father, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, all because he sees us wrapped into Christ. This is why we celebrate him with all of our heart. So first thing I want to point out before I keep reading is that it says here that every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realm has already been lavished upon us. You'll notice as you read scripture that there's a lot of times that there's a past tense about the gospel. And this is a little upside down from the way that we perceive things, in the sense that, you know, the scripture says, you know, by his stripes you were healed. And we don't always think of our healing or the state of being healed as something that is a past tense state. We think of it as like a present tense state that is dependent upon how we feel at any given moment. If we are struggling with sickness in our bodies, we're like, well, I'm sick. Well, no, by his stripes, you were healed. Healing, divine health, is a state of being that has already been accomplished in Christ. And here, I'm just using that as an example. In verse 3, it says that we have been blessed with everything that heaven contains. Everything that is in heaven has already been lavished upon us. Now, I recognize that the state of being healed and heaven having already been lavished upon us is an invisible reality. That walking out in time, we can actually experience something different than that reality, but it doesn't change the truth. It doesn't change the reality that our position in Christ, that our identity in Christ, that our destiny in Christ, that our being in Christ is something that has already been established. So let me just keep unpacking this and keep reading. It says verse 4, and in love, he chose us before he laid the foundation of the universe. So you being chosen is also something that is an already established fact. And it wasn't established at the moment that you decided, you know, to make quote unquote Jesus the Lord of your life. I mean, that's the moment it was realized by you, but it wasn't the moment that it happened. It wasn't the moment that God did it. God chose you. You were chosen before the foundation of the world. It says, if I keep reading, because of his great love, he ordained us so that we would be seen as holy in his eyes with an unstained innocence. Verse 5, it says, for it was always in his perfect plan to adopt us as his delightful children through our union with Jesus, the anointed one, so that his tremendous love that cascades over us would glorify his grace. For the same love he has for the beloved Jesus, he has for us. And this unfolding plan brings him great pleasure. Okay, so this scripture tells us that we were chosen in Christ to live in union with Jesus before the foundation of the world. So we technically, outside of time, were in Christ before we were in Adam. Okay, the fall of Adam didn't change our election, did not change the choice that God made to see us in Christ. And this time element of the gospel is a very, very powerful revelation, not only because it It eradicates the shame of a gospel that tells you that you were born in sin, that your origin is in Adam rather than in Christ. Okay, that alone is a very, very powerful truth. I don't know about you, but most of us that have grown up in the Western church here, you know, in United States, but anywhere all over the world, we were steeped in this idea that we were born a sinner, that from God's perspective, gosh, he couldn't even look upon us. God can't even look upon sin. We were wicked through and through and through, rather than blinded by the God of this world. Blinded to what? Blinded to the truth of our redeemed identity that happened, yes, in time 2,000 years ago, but before time began, outside of time. And so there's this blindness, this darkness that is, you know, all over the world. The world lies in darkness, it says in 1 John. And so this darkness has blinded us from our true origin, blinded us from our true identity, blinded us from the idea that we are holy, that we are blameless in his sight, that we have always been considered his child. And of course, the God of this world and this world system that we live in, and this, to an extent, fallen mindset that we are born into, where everyone is suffering. I say everyone, most of us are suffering under the illusion of the separation from God. Well, guess what? We have been raised in a system that did not teach us sonship, that especially a religious system did not teach us sonship, did not teach us union with God, but actually didn't even tell us our original origin, because our original origin has existed in him before the foundation of the world. Now, the title of this series is called Working from Rest. All right. And so when I talk about this concept of working from rest, we need to know what we're working from, first of all. So this concept of rest. And when I talk about this concept of rest, I'm talking about resting from our own labors. I'm talking about resting in what Jesus has finished. Okay, we aren't working. See, a legalistic system says that we are working to become something. But grace says that we already are something. Now, there is work. I mean, the Apostle Paul says, by the grace of God, I work harder than anybody. I work harder than all of you. So it's not that we aren't working. It's just the place that we are working from is very, very different. We're not working for an identity. We're not working for righteousness. We're not following and laboring into an identity. We're not doing something to become something. We are something, and so therefore we can now operate supernaturally out of that state of being, out of our true identity, which is oneness with God. So I'm going to be unpacking the difference between working to rest versus working from rest over the course of these next four episodes. So hopefully this makes sense, but just stick with me if it's not making sense yet, because we're going to continue to unpack it. Okay, now I want to go over to John chapter 5, and I'm going to read this in the Mirror Translation, and I want to read it, not only the scripture, as Francois Dutoit has translated it, but I also want to go through the notes. The Mirror Bible is a study Bible, by the way, and it has some just brilliant notes that Francois has written that, you know, unpack the original Greek root words and the compound Greek words. There's just a ton of revelation in the notes. And so I want to go ahead and read that today, because it brings out a lot about what I want to talk, what I want to be covering in this series. So it says this: Jesus replied, "My Father is working until now, and so am I." So I'm going to stop here for a moment, because this is describing the kind of work that Jesus was engaged in. Now, Jesus said very clearly, "The Father and I are one." He also said, "Of my own self, I can do nothing." He said things like, "Whatever I see the Father doing, that's what I do." He said, "If you've seen me, you've seen the Father." So Jesus showed up as the not only a full revelation of who God is, and who God is Father. But he also showed up as someone who lived in union with God, obviously the only begotten Son of God, not the only Son of God, the only one born into the flesh of a virgin mother, the only human begotten Son of God, but he also shows us how a Son of God operates. But let me continue to read here the notes here. It says, this is not what the Jews wanted to hear. So in the context of this scripture, if you look kind of what's going on here, Jesus healed a man on the Sabbath. So the Jews were very offended, very upset about that. And Francois just referencing that. He says, this is not what the Jews wanted to hear. But Jesus is speaking about a different Sabbath. Just like John reminds us in chapter 2 that he had a different temple in mind, one that he would rebuild in 3 days, referring to his body, right? And it says, and in the next chapter, in chapter 6 of John, with Nicodemus, he points to a different birth, right? Not a birth from his mother's womb, but our joint Genesis from above. It says, then in the Samaritan woman in chapter 4 discovers a different well, one that bursts forth from within. So Jesus is referencing a different kind of work here, is the point that Francois is making, because he was always referencing a different way of working, a different way of being, a different source, if you will, than what the Jews were used to. It says here, here in chapter 5, Jesus sees a different Sabbath to Jewish sentiment. The Sabbath of God points to his perfect work of both revealing and redeeming his image and likeness in human form. Okay. I'm going to read that again because it's worth writing down. It's worth wrapping your head around. I'm going to slow down here. It says, the Sabbath of God points to his perfect work of both revealing and redeeming his image and likeness in human form. It says, every Sabbath, okay, continues to celebrate the perfection of our Father's work, it says, until now. So when Jesus heals people on the Sabbath, he's not contradicting it, but endorsing it. Jesus is what the Sabbath, or what rest, is all about. He is the substance of every prophetic shadow. In restoring someone's wholeness on the Sabbath, the idea of the original Sabbath is reinforced and not compromised. When God introduced the Sabbath, it was always meant to be a prophetic opportunity to celebrate his rest, which was him seeing his perfect work unveiled in us. It says he continues to invite us to enter into rest where we cease from our own works. The announcement, you shall do no work, which was the pronouncement of the Sabbath, right? The original Jewish Sabbath, it says, was to remind us again and again that work, that his work is perfect and we cannot improve on it. And I love this statement here. It says, you cannot improve on you. You are his workmanship, his masterpiece. The deadly fruit, and he calls it the tree of the knowledge of good and evil here, he says, of the I am not system, had to be thoroughly uprooted. Why does he call it the I am not tree system? Well, because that tree told Adam and Eve that they had to do something to be like God, right? So it meant that I am not like God. And that system that tells us, which is the legalistic religious system that says that you are not like God, had to be completely uprooted. So I love the way that Francois brings that out. It says scripture records the seventh day of creation, to be the prophetic celebration of God's perfect work. What God saw satisfied his scrutiny. In Genesis 1:31 and in 2:2, behold, it is very good, and God rested from all his work. And this is really where I wanted to go. It says, God saw more than his perfect image in Adam. He also saw the Lamb and his perfect work of redemption. The Lamb having been slain from the foundation of the world. That which has been is now. That which is to be already has been. Now, I'm just going to stop here for a moment because it really hones in on the topic of this first episode. It says, that God saw more than his perfect image in Adam. He also saw his perfect work of redemption. And when did he see it? He saw it in the garden. When God said, I am resting from my works, this is very, very, very good. Okay, guess what? God was not surprised by Adam and Eve's choice. The lamb, from God's perspective, had already been slain from the foundation of the world. I want you to just kind of sit with that concept for a moment and recognize, hear what Francois ends this little phrase with. He says, that which has been is now, and that which is to be already has been. Again, this is another phrase worth writing down. Let's say it again. That which has been is now. Okay, the perfection from the foundation of the world is now. Okay, and that which is to be has already been. Okay, so these scriptures point to this reality of what I like to call the eternal now. And the eternal now is this place that is the reality that God is. It is also the truest reality, right? And it exists in a higher dimension than time. It exists in a higher dimension than space and time. And now is where God is. In fact, that is what I called the name of our teaching for this month's Elevate subscription. For those that are members in Elevate, that is the name of this month's teaching. Now is where God is. And I called it that, and I wanted to kind of expand on the concepts that I'm going to be covering in this podcast, because the eternal now is where everything is finished. It's not only where God is, but it is where you are in him. And now is the realm of faith. Now is what exists, eternally true, unchangeable. It is the highest truth of who you are, not only of who you are in Christ, but of the fullness of how God sees you as you fulfill your destiny. Okay, so it didn't just say, you know, that the Lamb was before the foundation of the world, but Revelation 13, it says the Lamb was slain before the foundation of the world. So yes, we know that Jesus existed as the Word of God with God in the beginning, but God also says that the Lamb was slain, that Jesus had fulfilled his destiny as a human being, as the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the whole world, but that Jesus had fulfilled his destiny before the world began. And so I also want to propose that not only do you exist in Christ before the foundation of the world, but that your destiny has been fulfilled before the foundation of the world. When you think about the lineage of Jesus and how God walked in time with Abraham, for example, and Abraham became the father of us, right? Became the father of faith and walked through God with God in time to manifest, and I say manifest, to realize that he was the father of a nation, that he was the father of faith, that the seed of Abraham would become the Messiah, that there would be a pure bloodline, a Jewish bloodline that was going to go throughout the ages and obviously result in the birth of Jesus, that plan, his good pleasure, his will, also had been accomplished before time began. It's why God began to teach Abraham how to agree with him so that the plan that God had for Abraham, which from his perspective was already done, that's why God calls the non-existent things as though they are, as though they already exist, because why? From God's perspective, they do exist. So the father of faith, Abraham, was walking out in time what had already been decided about him by God outside of time. And I'm going to walk through that because, you know, Abraham had to work from rest. Abraham had to labor, if you will, to enter into the promise of God, into the prophetic destiny that God had for him by recognizing how to rest, that it was already finished, that in the eternal now, he already was the father of a nation. He already was the father of faith. God saw Abraham, even when he was calling him out of his country to leave his father's house, to leave his mother's house, and to go to this land that God would show him, that even then God saw Abraham not as he saw himself. And the story of Abraham is God changing Abraham's opinion of himself. It was getting him into agreement by changing his name from Abram to Abraham, from teaching him how to see the invisible by going out and looking at the stars and saying that your offspring are as numerous as the sand, teaching him to see beyond what was real in the seen realm, to see himself the way God saw him. And we know that in the natural, this was an impossible thing. So God was not moved or intimidated by Abraham's, you know, humanity. I mean, Abraham lied, you know, at one point about Sarah being his wife. I mean, it's not like Abraham was perfect. I mean, God used imperfect people to accomplish his plan to establish the seed of Abraham. I mean, Moses really was a murderer. Like we gloss over that, like it's not a big deal, but he really murdered someone. Right? David was an adulterer. Like we are in the middle of all kinds of scandals right now because of sex scandals and things going on in leaders in the body of Christ. Like, you know, that is we have really visceral reactions to these things. We have real consequences to these things. Yet the chosen David was a man that had moral failures. And yet God saw them as the chosen ones to fulfill their prophetic destiny in the overall plan that God had already finished in the eternal now. He was working through imperfect humans that had an eternal destiny and using them to accomplish his plans in the earth. And so what I want to propose to you today is that you also have an eternal destiny. You have a work that you are here to do on planet Earth. You are a son of God with a purpose, with a destiny that is here to reveal the plan, the eternal plans of God. Yes, to reveal your redeemed identity, your redeemed innocence, your perfection, your union with Jesus, but to work in union with God, to continue to fulfill the original purpose and plan of God, which is to expand heaven across the entire face of the earth. This was the command and the assignment that he gave Adam and Eve, and it is the continuing commission of the body of Christ to awaken the sons of God and establish God's rule and reign as his body here on earth. And you have a part to play. Now, whether that is in a, what we might think of a secular, quote unquote, secular role. Now, granted, in the kingdom, there is no sacred and secular. There's not like, you know, we've got church over here and then we've got, you know, banking over here. No, it's the kingdom. Okay, nothing is in the kingdom. All things are holy. All things have been redeemed. It is a way of being and ruling and reigning in those things that causes those to be governed by God. But they're not in and of themselves. Something's not in and of itself more sacred than one profession isn't more sacred than another. Every calling of God is holy. every work of the ministry, the work of service that you're called to do is ordained by God. Whether you are a nurse, whether you are a fireman, whether you are a preacher of the gospel, like all of these assignments come from God. All of these prophetic destinies, these purposes come from God. So I want to go over now to a scripture in John again, and let me pull it up here. My Bible's acting weird. Let's go over to John 17. And I think about this scripture quite a bit. This is a scripture that Jesus was praying here at the end of his earthly life. And it was, you know, right before he was going to Calvary. And let me pull it up here. John 17. And I'm just going to start to read. And there's a couple of different translations I might read, but let me just read this because this is interesting. In the Passion Translation, the little title at the beginning says, Jesus finished the Father's work. And it's verse 1, it says, this is what Jesus prayed as he looked up into heaven. Father, the time has come. Unveil the glorious splendor of your Son so that I will magnify your glory. You have already given me authority over all people so that I may give the gift of eternal life to all those that you've given me. This is such a great translation, by the way. It says, you have already given me authority over all people. Okay, so that I might give the gift of eternal life to all that you have given me. So in other words, he was about to redeem the human race, that all people had been given unto Jesus, and Jesus was about to restore the cosmos to the Father, that God was about to be in Christ through Calvary, restoring all things to himself. I'm not going to go over to that scripture in Colossians right now, but if you want to read more about that, go over to Colossians. It says, verse 3, eternal life, what is he giving to people? It's not, escaping hell. Eternal life, it says, means to know and experience you as the only true God and to know and experience Jesus Christ as the Son in whom you've sent. In verse 4, it says, I have glorified you here on earth by faithfully doing everything you've told me to do. And now he says, this is what Jesus says. He says, so my Father, restore me back to the glory that we shared together when we were face to face before the universe was created. Okay, going back to Jesus always has been. Jesus always has been slain. Jesus had always, from Father's perspective, reconciled the cosmos to himself. From God's perspective, the fall was fixed before it happened. Now, it says this in verse 6. Let me read a little bit more of this. It says, Father, I have manifested who you really are, and I have revealed you to the men and women that you gave to me. They were yours, and you gave them to me, and they have fastened their word firmly to your hearts. And now, at last, they know that everything I have is a gift from you. For the very words you gave to me to speak, I've passed on to them. They have received your words and carry them in their hearts. They are convinced that I have come from your presence and have fully believed that you sent me to represent you. It says, so with deep love, I pray for my disciples. And it says, I'm not asking on behalf of the unbelieving world, but for those that belong to you, those you have given to me, for all those who belong to me now belong to you. And all who belong to you now belong to me as well. And my glory is revealed through their surrendered lives. I just wanted to go down here and read this last little part. Verse 20, it says, and I ask not only for these disciples, but also for those who will one day believe in me through their message. I pray for them to all be joined together as one, even as you and I, Father, are joined together as one. I pray for them to become one with us so that the world will recognize that you sent me. The very glory you have given to me, I have given them so that they will be joined together as one and experience the same unity that we enjoy. You live fully in me, and now I live fully in them so that they will experience perfect unity and the world will be convinced that you have sent me. For they will see that you love each one of them with the same passionate love that you have for me. You guys, it is worth going and reading John 17 in the Passion Translation. It is so very, very beautiful. But I wanted to come here today because In verse 3, Jesus says this. He says, I have finished, or he says, verse 4. He says, I have glorified you here on earth by faithfully doing everything you've told me to do. Okay? And if you read it in a different translation, if I go into the Amplified version in verse 4, it says, I have glorified you here on earth by completing the work that you gave me to do. In other words, Jesus was working in the fulfillment of his destiny a certain way. He was doing it out of the identity of union with the Father. He was doing it out of the identity of oneness with God. He was working with God. The Father in him was doing the work. And as he worked out of that state of already being who he was, doing whatever the Father told him to do, asked him to do, he says, I have glorified you here on earth. And so I want to just propose that the very first part of your destiny, the very first part of your earthly mission, the very first part of your commission is to glorify the Father. It is to finish the work that he wants to accomplish through you, that you too are here to glorify the Father, to live in union with him and work with him, not to become something, but to labor from something, the work that Jesus has accomplished to establish you in time in your union with God, which was completed before the foundation of the world outside of time, but for you to walk inside of time, glorifying the Father the same exact way that Jesus did, by living in union with him. Now, again, it's worth going back and reading. There's so much more I could say about that, but I want to go over, because we're almost out of time today, into Ephesians 2:10. And this is where we'll kick off, you know, next week. But I want to go to Ephesians 2:10 in the Amplified Classic Version. It says this in Ephesians 2:10. In the Amplified Classic, it says, for we are God's own handiwork, his workmanship, his work of art, his masterpiece, it says in different translations. It says, recreated in Christ, born anew. We could also say born from above, that we may do those good works which God predestined, planned beforehand for us. And I love this amplification. It says, taking paths which he prepared ahead of time that we should walk in them, living the good life which he prearranged and made ready for us to live. Okay, well, this scripture, first of all, tells us that we are a masterpiece of God. Very similar to what Francois's notes were saying in that scripture from John 5. But you are God's workmanship. You are recreated in Christ. You are born from above. Why? To do good works. So God didn't just predestine you or plan for you in love to be adopted and chosen and placed in Christ before the foundation of the world, but he also predestined your destiny. And he decided what works you were going to be here on earth to do. And just in the same way that Jesus said, Father, I have glorified you here on earth by finishing the work you gave me to do. Well, that is our purpose. That is our destiny, to glorify the earth by finishing the work that he gave us to do. And it says here that this was planned beforehand. Like, you are not an accident. You are not the result of your human lineage. You know, I mean, here I was born, you know, adopted. I don't even know my natural parents. But guess what? My source is not in my natural parents. My source, my origin is in Christ. And the same is true about you. You were born from above. I mean, that confused Nicodemus. He's like, well, how can I get into the womb and be born again? He said, no, Nicodemus, you must be born of the Spirit. And you are, your spiritual lineage is your true lineage. And God has ordained works for you to do. And not only that, but paths, very specific paths that he prepared ahead of time. If you'll notice in the Gospels, when you read about Jesus, he would go to certain towns, not go to certain towns. Like, there was a specific, my time has not come. My hour has not yet come. He told his mother at one point, like, he was living in time according to the Father's will, doing what the Father was doing in union with the Father, fulfilling what the Father was doing, having the Father work through him and glorifying the Father in the process. And then I love this. It says that it's a good life. It's a good life that he prearranged and made ready for us to live. And I want to propose that many of us are living far below the good life that God has prearranged and made ready for us to live. And in this series, my goal is to get you to in that place where you can rest, knowing that your destiny has been finished before the foundation of the world, that God has a prophetic declaration over your life, just like he had over Abraham's. He may not be, you know, calling you the father of a nation, but he's calling you something. He's calling you a lot of things in Christ, but he's calling you something specifically as well. That you have a specific destiny, that you have a specific purpose, that you are not an accident, that you are not put on this planet just to, you know, like we're taught, right? Just go to school, get a job, buy a house, get married, have kids, retire, play golf, and die. Like that is not, you know, the retirement planning is not the eternal planning of God. And so many of us are living a life that is not fully expressing the anointing that is on our life, the gifting that is on our life, the grace of God, the ministry that we have been called to. When I say ministry, I'm talking it's secular, whatever, sacred. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the calling that you have gifts, that we are here to be a blessing. That, and you know, in Genesis, when God gave the original mandate to Adam and Eve, in the Amplified Version, it says he blessed them and said, be fruitful, right? Multiply, replenish the earth and have dominion. And when he said that part about replenish the earth in the Amplified Classic Version, it says, use all of the vast resources of the earth in the service of God and man. Like servants are the greatest in the kingdom. We are here to serve. We are here to serve one another and be a blessing to one another using our gifts, using our ministry. That is our ministry. And teachers, pastors, you know, apostles, prophets, and evangelists, it says in Ephesians 4, 11 through 12, the reason they even exist, these gifts in the body of Christ, the work of their ministry is to equip the body of Christ for the work of their ministry. And so there is a purpose, there is a good life that God has prearranged and made ready for you to live that expands the kingdom of God, that is a supernatural demonstration of God's goodness and God's love and God's provision and God's healing and God's power through your life. And again, it doesn't matter if you're working at McDonald's or working, you know, in the royal palace. If it is an assignment from God, if God is placed you in that assignment to fulfill his will and be a blessing, then first of all, it's not your source of provision. Your job is not your source of your wealth. Your identity is the source of your wealth. Excuse me. Your identity in Christ is the source of your provision. Who you are in Christ is the source of your health. It's the source of everything in your life because your source is heaven. Your source is God. Your source is oneness with the creator of all things. And so as we continue on this series, you guys, we're going to continue to unpack this reality that it is finished. Who you are is finished. What you've been called to do is finished. But the question is are we living from rest? Are we living from the fact that it is finished? Are we living in intimacy with God? Are we living in that place of abiding in the vine where we are hearing the Father, doing what the Father is saying, and simply walking out in time the things that God has preordained for us before time? And so we're going to unpack that. We're going to continue to dive into this. But today I just wanted to really expand your thoughts around the eternal now, that from God's perspective, this is all finished. Who you are in Christ was finished before the foundation of the world, and what you've been called to do from God's perspective has been finished from the foundation of the world. Just like Jesus, just like the lamb was slain, guess what? Whatever your destiny is, was finished, because from God's perspective, it's all finished. And he calls things that be not as though they are. He creates through words. He causes us to come into alignment with our redeemed identity and our redeemed innocence. And when we wake up to the reality that we are sons of God, now we are in position to supernaturally transform this planet through the acts of service that God wants to accomplish through us. So it's going to be an exciting series, you guys. Tune in. It's going to be a time to discover more about what has been finished, about you, your identity, but also what you're called to do. And as always, I invite you, if you have not scheduled a call with us to talk about how you can work with me, whether that is an Elevate, whether that is with Emerge, you know what? Get on our calendars. We'll put the link here and we will walk you through how you can be coached by me in that process of transfiguration, that process of revealing the fullness of who you are and your purpose here on the planet and your union with God so that you can step into it as a son of God and fulfill everything that God has declared about you. And you too can say while you're here on earth that you finished the work that God gave you to do. So tune in, schedule a call if you haven't done that with us, and we will see you in the upcoming episodes. All right, you guys, make it a supernatural week and we will see you soon. All right, love you much.
Thanks for listening to Shalisa's podcast. This recording is, in part, made possible by our listeners. To partner with us, visit shalise.com, where you can donate and help us spread the good news of our unshakable union with Christ around the globe. You can also find a link there to download Shalisa's book, The Path, for free. And if you're ready to discover the call of God on your life and the purpose He created you for, then visit us at shalise.com and watch Shalisa's free training, where you'll hear 5 keys to hearing God about your life purpose and transitioning into it. Thanks again for listening. Until next time, don't forget, the world needs the Christ in you.